It's wonderful to be here, and I want to start out, first of all, by thanking you for supporting us all these years. It's been a while since we've been back here. I wonder, is there anyone here that's ever met us before? One person. All right. Well, praise the Lord. We're here, and we're glad to be back with you. And what we want to do is just share a little bit about what we're doing, what we've been doing, and what the Lord has done in our lives. First of all, I want to say what we do is called medical missions. And I always try to make it very clear that missions is not about medicine. Missions is about getting people the gospel, getting those people saved, and putting them into a local church where they can serve the Lord. That's what we do, but we use medicine as bait to draw people in to listen to the gospel. Jesus told his disciples, "Follow me and you'll be fishers of men." And you know, if you're going fishing, you need bait. Well, we're the bait for a fishing expedition. We go with medical teams. We take non-medical people. We take medical people. We definitely take optometrists. Where'd he go? there he is over there. We take anybody we can get, and we treat people medically. We give them eyeglasses. We take care of their physical needs. We take dentists if we can ever get one of those. But what we do is we set up an outreach that involves taking care of people's physical needs so that they have a reason to listen when we share the gospel with them. And it works. And the reason it works is it's what Jesus did. He took care of people's problems. He fed them. And then he presented the word of God to them and they listened. We just got back from a trip to Honduras. We had over 264 people trust the Lord in 1 week. Amazing. You would not believe the number of people in the world who have never had a clear understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ before. And that's what we're about. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that we take volunteers, and any one of you in here could go with us on a mission trip, and if you do, it'll change your life. You'll come back different when you see what the rest of the world lives like. So I would invite you to think about that. If you could get the video set up back there, we'll start that just as soon as they get it up back there. I would urge you to stop by our display out there. We've got a lot of stuff out there from all over the world, but particularly we have prayer cards. Take those cards, take them home, remember to pray for us. Magnet them up on the front of the fridge or maybe on the front of the television somewhere where you'll see them and remember to pray for us. And then we've got some brochures out there for the ministry that we do. Go on our website and look at the trips we're taking. You say, I don't know if I want to go on a mission trip. Keep watching. Sooner or later, you'll see someplace. You'll go, oh, man, I just got to go there. And then you'll go with us. So we would love to have any one of you come with us on a trip sometime. All right, let's go ahead with the video if we're ready there.
And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad, as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. There is a harvest of souls around the world in many different places. Some live in cities, some live in villages, or even in more remote places. Many are sick or injured, but all are in need of a Savior, and most will never hear the gospel. Millions across the world wake up each morning without hope. They face a day of rigorous toil, a life of hopeless poverty, and when it all ends, a Christless eternity. Disease and death are as much a part of life as poverty and toil. Even the joy of a child is soon lost to a life without the hope of Christ. This is the world that many in the USA will never see, but this is the world we are commanded to reach. In our ministry, we seek to go into cities and also into villages, healing what sickness and disease we can, while preaching the gospel to all who will listen and teaching the word of God. The joy and hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ shines like a brilliant light into this life of darkness. This is the heart of medical missions. Each medical outreach is a carefully planned missions tool, designed to reach large numbers with the gospel, to show them the love of Jesus Christ, and to bring them into His kingdom. Meeting a person's physical needs opens their hearts to the gospel. Often we see one-third to one-half of those we treat trust the Lord in each clinic. Each clinic effort is directed at a missionary or national pastor who is either starting a new church or increasing an existing one. New believers are quickly brought into a local church where they can be baptized and trained in the scriptures. New churches can be started in as little as one day rather than years, and existing churches can be revived and increased. This national pastor in Honduras wanted to start a church in his own village. The very first service was the evening before a clinic. The patients lined up early, and over 125 trusted the Lord. Within 6 weeks, this new church had over 100 in services each Sunday. This church in Thailand had only 4 in attendance, in spite of many expensive outreaches and social programs, and a great building, and over 1 year's effort by a missionary. However, after only one day of clinic at this site, more than 30 new believers attended services, and many more stood outside to watch. This church planting effort in Cambodia failed completely, but after only one day of clinic, the church was revived. 6 months later, I was pleased to preach to a congregation of over 40 at this same site. In Nyahururu, Kenya, we held clinics for a new church being started. More than 80 new believers were among those that attended the very first Sunday, and about 25 more were also saved in that first service. No other missions method leads to more souls saved or more churches planted in such a short time. It is not our method, it is the Lord's. No wonder it is so effective. A recent trend in missions is for a family to go to a single place, often starting only a single church and reaching only a limited population. While this may have some value, it is like fishing with a hook while others are using a net. Great missions efforts of the past, including the ministry of the Apostle Paul, were mobile ministries where a ministry team went to many different places, sharing the gospel and starting new churches wherever they went. We began our ministry in Guyana, South America, where we started a church in a remote village. We used boats as church buses to bring people from 7 different villages. When we had to leave Guyana over visa issues, we started doing medical missions all around the world. When we went back to Guyana with a medical team, our old church was packed to capacity with many left standing outside. More people trusted the Lord in one day than we might have seen on our own in a year. What an eye-opening testimony to the efficacy of medical missions. After 9 years of traveling all around the world with established medical teams, we saw the Lord's leading to start our own medical teams. Truth for Today Medical Missions was formed to continue using medicine to reach souls all around the world by showing of Christ's love and presenting the gospel.
One of my most exciting ministries is to provide eyeglasses. Imagine being unable to see clearly, but having no way to obtain glasses. The Lord has graciously provided us with a state-of-the-art laser autorefractor, as well as a slower but simpler focometer, which we use to fit eyeglasses to those who need them. This gentleman, who claimed to be over 100, just wanted to see the people pass his house. This lady couldn't see 2-foot-high letters on the church wall without glasses. The first words this nun read with her new glasses were in a gospel tract. Often, our longest lines are the lines for glasses. Many eagerly read the gospel with their new glasses, and with their hearts warmed and softened by their ability to see, many gladly receive Christ. Being a part of the eyeglass team does not require any special medical training. This pastor, this retired chiropractor, and this bicycle dealer have all been a part of the eyeglasses teams, and most of you could be a part of this exciting ministry as well. I direct the eyeglass teams and order about 3,000 pairs of glasses for each trip. The Lions Clubs provide us with prescription glasses, and we purchase reading glasses as well. All of them must be sorted, cataloged, and packed to be ready to use in the clinics. Of course, I also have other duties, whether nursing, or lab, or pharmacy. I have often filled over 1,000 prescriptions in a single day. I have seen hearing restored to the deaf with a simple ear cleaning, and sight restored to the blind with a simple pair of glasses. But the most exciting thing I see is the salvation of lost souls through a simple presentation of the gospel.
There is something for everyone to do on a missions trip. I've been helping out since I was just a kid. I helped people get around the clinic. With big crowds and limited facilities, this is a very important job. Each person must register first. The information we get here helps the pastor to follow up on those we treat. Then they go to triage for vital signs, then to see a doctor or to get new glasses. Then they go to the soul-winning area, where each one gets to hear the gospel. This is the most important part of the clinic. The medicines will run out, the glasses will wear out, but those who trust Jesus as their Savior will never be the same again. As important as crowd control is, I now have many jobs. I take vital signs. Temperature, pulse, blood pressure, and even weight must all be recorded. I also work in the pharmacy, counting and bagging thousands of pills. I also work in the vision clinic, helping to get the correct prescription so that just the right pair of glasses can be found from the thousands of possibilities. Of course, it's more important how people see than how they look. In spite of all the work, there is time to have fun, too. I have friends all over the world. It's really great to be on a medical team, but I do wish we had better toilets.
Often a medical clinic can open doors in areas closed to traditional missions. A medical clinic meets many vital needs. We often see patients who have not seen a doctor in years. We treat many life-threatening illnesses, as well as some common day-to-day infections, and even some bizarre things. We do simple surgery, often by flashlight. This patient even held his own light. These are all good things, but the most important thing is to assure that each person we treat has a clear presentation of the gospel. Often a person will have two or three chances to receive Christ before they leave the clinic. Many trust the Lord at the clinics who never even came for medical care simply because of the testimony they see. Indeed, as the Lord said, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. We need more volunteers, especially medically trained personnel. If you know a doctor, or a PA or nurse practitioner, or a nurse, or a dentist, or an optometrist, please give them our information. And of course we need other volunteers as well. Almost anyone can serve on a medical team. The way may be a bit difficult, the accommodations may be a bit primitive, the days may be long and tiring, but the rewards far outweigh the hardships. Many around the world need the help and hope that a medical clinic can bring. Many need to hear the gospel for the very first time. There is no question about the need. The question is, how will you be involved? Please pray for us as we continue to reach out to those in need throughout the entire world. Thank you.
All right, we ran through that fairly quick. Does anyone have a quick question about anything on the film or about what we do? Any questions at all? I have a question for you. Who wants to come with us? We'd love to have any one of you come along on a trip with us, and it will change your life. With that said, I'd like to share something from the scriptures with you. kind of a lesson, kind of an illustration. If you have your Bibles, you can look at Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Familiar verse of Scripture. And what I want to do this morning is not share anything earth-shattering about this verse, but simply share with you an illustration of this passage of Scripture that perhaps will stick with you for time to come. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I want to talk with you this morning a little bit on that idea of presenting your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know, in my Bible, I have that word reasonable underlined because it's not special. It's not extra. It's just your reasonable service. It's what God would expect. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for the passage of Scripture you've given us this morning. And I thank you for each one that's here. And Lord, I just pray that you would give me the words to say this morning to touch hearts in the direction you'd have them to go. Lord, lead us where you'd have us to go this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. I want to illustrate that this morning. And to do that, I'm going to use one of these. Now that, you might call a machete. Where I come from, they call that a cutlass. They use these all over the world. They're a farming implement. They're a wood-cutting implement. They're good for about everything. But what I'm going to use it for this morning is an illustration of that passage of Scripture. You say, how are you going to use that for an illustration? Well, we're just going to go through the life of a cutlass and see how it compares to a life, to the life of a believer. You see, when this cutlass begins its life, you know what it's doing? It's sitting on the shelf down at the hardware store. And you know what it's accomplishing when it's sitting on that shelf? Absolutely nothing. You know why it's not accomplishing anything? Because it hasn't been purchased yet. You see, you can't accomplish a thing as a Christian in this world until Jesus Christ purchases you. So this cutlass is sitting on the shelf and it's doing nothing. It's just rusting away because it's never been purchased. And then a fellow comes in, we'll call him the Bushman, and he comes in to purchase that cutlass. And you know, that's a pretty tough decision for him because it costs a lot to buy a cutlass. It might cost him 2 or 3 days' wages. But he pays the price to purchase that cutlass because he has need of a cutlass. He pays the price, and when he pays the price, what happens to the cutlass? It becomes his. If you're here this morning and you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want you to understand that Jesus Christ paid the price for you. And it was a dear price that he paid. He paid the price for your soul when he hung on the cross and shed his own blood for your sins. He paid the price with the stripes on his back, with the thorns in his brow. And as he hung on that cross, he looked up and he saw all the angels of heaven with their swords drawn. And they said, Lord, say the word and we'll come and cut you down. And the only word he had to say was, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. That's the price that Jesus Christ paid for you. And when he paid the price, you became his. Now, if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, let me tell you, you're still hanging on the shelf. And he paid the price to purchase you. And all you have to do is accept that price. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted that, I want to challenge you, don't leave today without accepting Christ as your Savior, without accepting the payment that he made for your sins. But if you're here and you've accepted that, then you've become his. So the Bushman, he gets this cutlass. It's not quite ready for him to work with. There's some things he's got to do with it first. You see, when he gets this cutlass, it's so dull, you could smack it down here and it wouldn't hardly even make a mark. He's got to do something with it, so he gets a file. And he begins to work on that cutlass with a file. Now, what do you think that file does to that cutlass? You think it puts more metal on there? No, it doesn't, does it? It takes some things away. And you know what? When you first trust Christ, there's some things in your life that need to be taken away. And the Lord Jesus Christ has a file. It's this book right here. And He wants to apply it to your life to take away the things that keep you from being useful for Him. Well, after a while, that file works on the cutlass. It gets good and sharp. And then that guy has to do something else. He takes and he puts a mark on the handle of that cutlass. Now, if you look at this cutlass, you'll see it's got my initials cut in the handle. That's the mark. And you know what that means? It means if I put this cutlass down somewhere, everybody who sees it is going to know who it belongs to. My Bible still says, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And that's what the Scripture is talking about when it says, be not conformed unto this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. You see, God wants our lives to be different. When we walk out of this church, we ought to walk through the world in such a way that people look at us and say, hey, I know who that person belongs to. They belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. I see the mark in their life. That's the mark that goes on that cutlass. So the fellow gets that cutlass all sharpened and marked, and he puts it out in the garage with his other cutlasses until he has need of it. And then the day comes when he needs a cutlass. And he goes out and he looks at the cutlasses that are there. He checks the edge to see if it's sharp. He checks the mark to see if it's cut in there good and deep. He checks the strength of the metal to see if it's strong, if it can withstand what he has for it to do. And then he does the very most important thing. He just checks to see how that cutlass swings in his hand. Because you see, the one he wants to use is the one that goes exactly where his hand sends it. Sometimes people tell me, I wonder why God isn't using me. My question is, are you willing to go wherever he sends you? You know what? A lot of people say, God, I want to do anything for you, but. And guess what? God's perfect will is usually on the other side of that but. If you want to find out exactly what God wants for you, you've got to go everywhere His hand sends you. And that's the cutlass that's going to get used. Well, let's say that fellow picks a cutlass and he goes out to do a day's work with it. And let's say that he goes out and he's going to chop down a greenheart tree. Now, greenheart is the hardest hardwood in the world. A greenheart tree is big enough around that two people can't reach around it. It is so hard that you can't even drive a nail into it without drilling a hole. And you say, wow, that fellow's going to cut that down with a cutlass. I mean, wouldn't a chainsaw be better for that job? Or wouldn't an axe be better? You know what the bushman says? He says, I don't have a chainsaw. It hasn't been purchased yet. I don't have an axe. It hasn't been purchased yet. I have a cutlass. And in my hand, that cutlass can do the work. Isn't it amazing? God said He's chosen the poor of the world to confound the rich. He's chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. You see, sometimes God asks us to do something that's beyond our capability because in His hand we can do it. And that man begins to go to work on that tree, and before you know it, that big tree's lying on the ground, not because the cutlass is such a wonderful tool, but because of the skill in the hand that wields it. If you want to do great things for God, you have to put yourself in God's hands and go wherever God wants to send you. Well, at the end of the day, the file has to come back out again, doesn't it? And sharpen that cutlass back up. Well, after a while, the cutlass starts to look like this one. Now it's a little smaller. And it's a little thinner, but it's also sharper and faster than it was before. And then one day that bushman looks out and he sees an enemy coming towards his house. Now the enemy of the bushman is the snake. I mean, a poisonous snake can do a lot of damage. So he looks out and he sees that snake coming and he knows he's got to do something to protect his home and protect his family. So he takes a cutlass. And he goes out to do battle with that snake. And he begins to fire blows on the snake and the sparks fly up from the rocks in the ground. And it's exciting for a few minutes. And before you know it, the snake is chopped to pieces. And then the man with sadness He turns his attention to the cutlass, and he sees that the blade is nicked and damaged and dull. But he knows that he did what he had to do with that cutlass. And don't you know that before he goes to bed, he'll light a lamp and he'll sit well into the night working that file again until that cutlass is razor sharp and until that edge shines like silver once again. Sometimes we ask, why do bad things happen to God's people? Why do bad things happen in our lives? Listen, sometimes God is using you in a way you can't even possibly understand. And when it's all said and done, He's going to be there to put things back to right. And that's what it means to be a tool in the hand of God. Remember our scripture, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Well, after a while, the cutlass begins to look like this one. And you say, man, that's a pitiful looking cutlass. But I want you to understand something. This is the sharpest cutlass I've shown you so far. This is the fastest cutlass that I've shown you so far. And I want you to look at the handle. You say, well, that handle's cracked and broken. And it is. But if you look a little closer, you'll notice that right here, the handle's worn away in the shape of a man's thumb. And on this side, it's worn away in the shape of his fingers. Because this cutlass has been used so long in a man's right hand, it won't even fit in the wrong hand anymore. And that's how we ought to be with God. We ought to let God so wear His handprint into our lives that the only thing we want to do is go where He wants to send us. Well, time goes on, and finally, cutlass gets like this one. You say, wow, that's too short to chop down a tree with, and it sure is. That's too short to chop up a snake with, and it is. So what do you think? You think he just throws it away? No. Then he takes it into his house, and he uses it to cut bread and clean fish, and he has lots of things still for that cutlass to do. Let me tell you something. You never outgrow your usefulness for God. If you're still here in this world right now, God still has a plan for you. I don't know how strong you are. I don't know how weak you are. I don't know what your health is. But I guarantee you, if you're still drawing breath, God has a plan for you in this world. One more scripture and we're done. Look in Psalms chapter 71, verse 16. I love this passage of scripture. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I dedicated thy wondrous works. When I put my glasses on. Listen to verse 18. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have shown thy strength unto this generation and thy power to every one that is to come. Listen, there's a generation out there that's looking for the power of God. There's a generation out there that's looking for someone with a dedicated life. For someone who's worn themselves out serving Jesus and still wanting to serve Him with what they have left. I want to ask you, is it an unusual thing for a cutlass to become like this one? No. That's just what you expect of a cutlass. That's what it was purchased for. And that's what the Scripture means when it says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Let's have heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. Nobody looking around. I want to ask you a question, simply this. Are you willing to serve God with your whole life? Are you willing to wear out for God, the one who purchased you? Maybe you're here this morning, you say, I'm not sure I've ever been purchased. If you're not sure that Jesus Christ purchased you with His blood, You need to find out for sure today. You need not to leave here till you're sure. Christian friend, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, are you serving God with all your life? Are you going exactly where His hand sends you? I wonder if there's anyone here that would say, no one's looking around, you just say with an upraised hand, preacher, I need to be more like that. I need to give a little more for God. And I'll admit that with an upraised hand. No one's looking around. Amen. Are there others? No one's looking around. I need to be more like that. I need to give my life for God. I want to go where God's hand sends me. Father, I thank You so much for the illustration that we've had this morning. I thank You for Your precious word. I thank You for each soul that's here. Lord, I pray that You would allow us to serve You, that You would allow us to wear out in Your service instead of rusting away out in the shed. Lord, I pray that You'd touch hearts this morning. I pray that You would use someone in this service in a great way in Your kingdom in the days ahead. Touch our hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.